Amen. How's everyone doing? I'm not answering that. I'm doing well. Oh, my glasses. It would help. I can see what's going on. Oh! It's all you guys. Today, I do have one announcement. Next month, we will be starting the Connect Track again. And Connect Track is for all those who want to be a part of what Streams is doing. It's kind of like a four-week get-together to know what God is saying to Streams, so we can give the vision, a little bit of our history, and then find out about you, what gifts and talents you have, and the ministries that are available to serve in. And for those, that's your next step. You can be a part of ministries, but you need to go through this Connect Track so you can better articulate to others who are coming as to what God is doing. A lot of churches tend to draft people into ministries, and as I've said through the years, we have needs, but we're not going to allow those needs to dictate what God has for you and how to serve. So next week will be a sign-up sheet for all those who are interested. It's 4 weeks. It's right after service. We're done. Probably, if we're done at 12, we'll start around 12:30, so we can have some fellowship time, and then it's approximately 1 hour, hour and a half at the most, to cover this stuff. And it's a good experience for people to understand what we're all about. We're all about God and putting people in the place that God has made for them, not fulfilling a need of the church. Okay? If you would turn your Bibles to John, the first chapter, verse 17. The scripture says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Today we're going to start laying a foundation for grace, understanding what grace is, understanding how God utilizes grace for us to give us the things that we need. And then finally, and this is not all going to be today, we're just laying a foundation today. How do we tap into this grace so it becomes our reality, that everything that God has for us, we can access now? We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. And the good news is we don't have to wait. The good news is that Jesus has taken care of everything, but it's going to seem a little remedial at times, but I think that as we start building and understanding a lot of things that we're doing in our lives, and I will share much of that through my own life, from the place of really understanding God saving me, and then my responsibility, where your responsibility comes into play in how we respond. What is it that we need to respond to the grace of God in order for Him to not only move in us, but through us, to touch the lives of people that we're trying to reach for the cause of Jesus Christ? And so I think that as we go forward, we will accomplish that, and God will use us. I want to read from the Message Bible. It's the same scripture. We got the basics from Moses, which is the law, the basics. And then this exuberant giving and receiving. Exuberant giving and receiving deals with us in such a way that we don't operate legalistically towards one another. We freely give our love and receive your love. It says, the endless knowing and understanding. All this came through Christ or Jesus, the Messiah. What it's talking about is grace. How we no longer have to live a life by rules and regulations. Although those rules and regulations are there for us, but there are rules and regulations that's set up through the Torah that we no longer have to adhere to. It's all based on the Ten Commandments. And how can you improve upon the Ten Commandments? I believe there were 737 additional rules and regulations from the original ten that the Jewish priest put on, of which they themselves did not keep. So how do they expect the ordinary people to keep? Jesus came to give us understanding as to what this meant, how grace is supposed to augment all that, and we move or motivate it through our hearts. When we do those things, we come to a place in understanding, or should understand, how much God loves us, how much He cares for us, how much He wants to take care of us. And the things that we're doing right now to impede that is 180 degrees out of sync with the kingdom. We sang today about we want the kingdom. We want His kingdom to be in our lives. But for it to be a reality, we have to begin to implement what He says. And what He says is 180 degrees from what the world says we should do. And so it's renewing of your mind. It's renewing of things that take place. And it is coming to an understanding that the scripture says, faithful is He who calls you, who will also do it. How many of us have said, I'm not going to be angry anymore. I'm just not going to be angry. And the next thing we do is our kids do something and we blow up. Yeah, me too, Bob. Or we're driving down the road and someone cuts us off and we're screaming at them. We flip them the bird because they're number one in our life. And we do all those things that is contrary to the kingdom, for the kingdom of life. All of us are guilty at one point or another in utilizing what the world says is normal, but God says, my grace is sufficient for you. So understanding what grace is the beginning. So somebody tell me what your definition of grace is. Anybody? Undeserved favor, okay. Unmerited, yeah. Okay. Come on, Christine. I see you're bubbling up. Because I see it. Okay, that's a good... Really, that's honest. That's what we want. You know, grace allows us to be honest not only with ourselves, but with each other. And all that you guys have said is true, but what does it mean? Have you ever pondered that thought? What does that mean, unmerited favor? What does that mean, that God's grace is extended to us? And how do we excel in appropriating that grace in every part of our lives? I will tell you. Grace is a favor from given from a superior, either human or divine, to an inferior. So God has extended grace to us because we're inferior to God, right? We were before we were born again. And so this grace that's given to us really wipes out everything that we have done previous in our lives. All the sin issues, all the behavioral issues, all the things that we know and do that are wrong. And God extends that favor to us. When we believe that Jesus came and died on a cross, on that cross, well, not that one specifically, but on the cross, what he did was he did us a favor. Not only did he extend favor, but he did us a favor because he saw what condition we were in. It doesn't matter if we're Jewish. It doesn't matter if we're Gentile. He died for the whole world because our condition was in such a way that we were laid into bondage to sin. Thereby, we could never escape the effects of sin in our lives. We could never atone or pay back or redeem ourselves because we were trapped. And Jesus saw this. And he loves us so much that he voluntarily came to earth. He withstood all the insults and maltreatment that was given to him. All the evil words spoken about him. He even upset the Pharisees and the Sadducees because he did not adhere to their law. You see, he was a threat. And for each and every one of us that believed that he came and paid for our sin on a cross, we became born again. The moment we believed. I know this sounds redundant, but sometimes we really need to hear this again and again and again. So it doesn't matter if we're Jewish, it doesn't matter if we're Gentile. What matters is we believe. Because only in belief can we begin to understand the grace of God. I can remember when I first got saved. I used to be one of these guys that was a keeper of the law. You had to do this. Your kids had to act right. You had to do all this stuff. I was a strict disciplinarian in areas that really didn't allow kids to be kids. I didn't extend any grace to them because how many times has our kids acted up and we said, wait till you get home. Really? Wait till you get home. And the kids would be kids and they would forget what they did, but they knew when I got home, something was going to happen. And that's not going to be pleasant. I was not an example of who God was. I was an example of my earthly father. And because of that impartation of what I learned through all those years, I realized that my view of my Heavenly Father was askewed because of the reality of being raised by an earthly father. And though I was saved, I didn't know what grace was. I didn't know how to appropriate it. No amount of study the scriptures was going to teach me only through experience. And I had to experience the grace of God personally in my life as much as you guys individually will have to persevere and understand the grace of God working in your life. Because you see, the grace of God is what changes us. Let me say that again. The grace of God is what changes us. We can try, and we still do. We make excuses about everything, why we're not doing the rudiments or the fundamentals of Scripture. And I try to make it easy for everyone who comes to Streams to relax, to understand what's going on, that we have two rules in this fellowship. And they were rules dictated to us through Jesus, our King. And they are, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Two rules. And Jesus said, all this is summed up through the Scriptures and the prophets. I found that quite interesting, that grace correlates with love. And because God extends this grace, He extends His love to us because He wants us to know Jesus. And He wants us to know Him through Jesus' example in our lives. And so what happens is the more we study Jesus, the more we're into Scripture, the more we change. Not because we're doing anything different, except we're believing. How many believe that the Phillies are going to win the pennant this year? You can sense the faith in that statement. It's early. It's just started Grapefruit League and stuff. And you really shouldn't make that declaration. But how many believe you're going to heaven? Why? Why do you believe that you're going to heaven? Good deeds doesn't do it. Nope. How do you know that you're going to heaven? Because this is the essence of grace. You can't earn it. As we go to Ephesians 2, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a free gift of God. It's a gift. I know I'm going to heaven because I received a gift. Did I have to earn it? No. Did I have to receive His gift of salvation and then do something else to keep it? No. A gift is a gift. Did you have to work for a gift? No, we don't work for gifts. A gift is a gift. If we have to earn it, it's not a gift. If we feel that Jesus needs help, because on a cross, I believe that He died, and I need to help Him to understand that there's something I need to do also, I'm in error. Jesus paid for everything. He atoned for everything. Every sin that we committed in the past, every sin that we do now, every sin that we don't plan on in the future, He paid it all. Do you believe? That is true. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. If people say, well, you know, I do good things. My question is, did God tell you to do it? Right? Did God tell you to do it? Well, you know, I just felt in my spirit that I should be doing this. Faith has nothing to do with our feelings. Faith has everything to do in responding to the grace of God. I believe of what God has said, there's nothing more that has to be met on my part except just to receive. Grace is also what enables immoral men, you, me, and women, to live a moral life. I am concerned with a lot of issues in the body of Christ. One is the epidemic of pornography in men. And they feel that they have to do something to escape, only finding out that what they're doing only causes them to go deeper, affecting the relationships that they have with everyone more so. And so what happens is we try to hide it. We try to keep it hidden, suggesting that we're under control, when the reality and the truth of it is we're out of control. That is not God's grace. God's grace is, I admit that I can't do this. But God can and has done it. And something miraculous really happens. When I begin to confess that sin to God, Scripture says He's faithful to forgive us and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He does this. And then He takes those things that are in us out of us and replaces it more with Him. Do you understand this? Because it's real important as we go further on to understanding how grace works and how to appropriate this, that all we need to do is tap into the grace of God. It's real interesting when God saw Moses and He said to Moses, I need you to go do this, this, and this. And Moses says, Well, who shall I say is sending me? And God said, tell them I am that I am. Right? That's what the Scripture says. And really what He was saying, if you translate that all out, tell them I am everything that you need, I will be. What is it that you need? Do you need to stop yelling at each other? Admit to God. That's sin. The Bible says, don't let your wrath go down at the end of the day. Because Satan has time to embed that into our hearts and cause divisions. How many believes that they're Satan? We should all believe, because he's the enemy of our soul. And he's the one that comes and tells us, well, you just don't need to repent. God knows that you don't meet his standards. It's okay. And so what we do is we hide that so nobody finds it. And then we become angry. And when it becomes too much for us, the circumstances of life, the things that are going on in our marriages or in the family of God, we explode. Sometimes we do a pretty good job until we're out of the parking lot, and then we just go nuts. Because we never made confession to God. We never exchanged the life that we're leading for truth. Thereby, we never became healed. 2 Corinthians tells us the true meaning of grace. It says, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Jesus is the King of the universe. He has untold riches. And yet, he came to this planet and became poor for us. How does a king live? Sometimes a king lives in opulence. There is jewels and gifts that he bestows upon people. His wealth is endless because he owns everything, including his people. My Bible says that God is so rich that he owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. And that is true. He is creator of everything, including you and me. But understand, he came from all that he had, all the glory that he had, to make known to man how great his love is for us. And everyone who believes that Jesus did this for them surrenders their life to him. He takes our poverty, and we take his riches. We become sons of the kingdom, daughters of the kingdom. All that he has is ours now. Now, the moment you believe, it's ours. Paul says it's an inheritance given to those who are Christ. I thank God my Father owns everything. Because left to me, I'd be so out of control. It'd be like those guys who win the lottery. And in 5 years, if they're not murdered by their family, they've wasted so much of that money. And I'm speaking truth because that's really, you know, I looked at one of these TV shows and this guy won something like $65 million. And half his family went to jail because they were plotting to murder him for the wealth. How sad. How sad. It just shows how despicable our hearts are without Christ. You see, going to church is a religious experience. You don't have to come here. Really. You don't. Why do we come here? So we can get built up together in the faith. So that we can give and receive love one unto another. That we can encourage each other where we're at. Because Christ is in the midst of us. He said, wherever two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. Do you believe that Christ is here? Right. That's why we assemble. Because it's not, you know, if you got to know who I was, God, thank God for Christ. I mean it, really. I could bore you to tears. I really could. And my elders understand that I only do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. You could come up with a ton of suggestions for me. Laundry list of jobs to do. It's only one voice I need to hear. God's. And that's the same for you. Jesus saw our dilemma. He recognized that we were in bondage to sin. Sin not only took over our lives, we willingly participated in it. And only Jesus and what he did on the cross to set us free is true. That's why so many people hate Christ. One, because they don't understand what he did. And two, they don't want God to tell them what to do. because they still want to be in control, but they don't realize how out of control they are. I like it when I get together with people and they tell me about the political elements of what's going on in the world. And they said, well, tell me your opinion. I said, well, I'll tell you what God says. No, I want to know what your opinion is. I don't have an opinion. I tell you what God says. And God says this world is dark. Fallen men are trying to overtake it. They crave power. And how do they crave power? They seduce everybody who is not of Christ to have a mindset that what you're doing is good. It's good for you. When in reality, it furthers and traps you in a lie to get you to participate. I'll give you an example. How many know about 23andMe? It is a DNA test which tells you what your DNA is, and it gives you a brief history as to where your family came from. That's innocent, right? Right? It's innocent. There was a person who took a test, found out where she was from, but are you aware that DNA is submitted to police officers? And that they had a DNA from a rape case that pointed to her brother, and he was arrested. That's not bad in itself. I mean, you got somebody off the street. What's bad is we're willingly submitting ourselves to a DNA test, not knowing that the government is willfully collecting all that information against you. That goes against our Fifth Amendment rights. You understand this? And yet, they say this is good. It is. But what I've learned of this government, it's not good. It's corrupt. It's corrupt men and women who have their own agendas to do their own thing at the expense of people. We call that the status quo. And that's really what is going on, is the swamp is trying to supersede. And you could be right, wrong, and different about what Trump is doing. I could care less, because I'm more interested in what God's doing. Don't get caught up in all the fanfare of the day. Find out what God is saying. Find out what He wants of us, and you'll never go wrong. We now understand the true nature of grace. We gave our life, we surrendered our life, our poverty, our bondages to Christ. He in turn made us rich, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. There's not one person in here except Jesus. That can claim an exception to this. And it's only by accepting what Jesus has done, accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we escape this. But that's not the purpose. That's to give us understanding. The purpose is the next scripture. It says the Messiah has made things up between us so that we're now together on this, both non-Jewish outsiders and Jewish insiders. He tore down the wall we used to keep each other at a distance. He repealed the law code that had become so clogged with fine print and footnotes that it hindered more than it helped. then he started over. Instead of continuing with two separate groups of people that have been separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he created a new kind of human being. A new kind of human being. A fresh start for everybody. Christ brought us together through his death on a cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of hostility. Think about it. Before Jesus came, there were two peoples in the world. Gentiles and the Jews. God used the Jews to try to get them to understand. We got the law and we got precepts and stuff. That was great, but we could not keep the law. And the scripture says anyone who fails in any one of the points of the law is guilty of all the law. Jesus did not break the law. He fulfilled it. Jesus became sin for us, even though he never sinned. I'm just thinking about the awesomeness of Christ. How many of us have struggled to keep the law? How many of us tried to do good things? How many of us have justified ourselves in trying to keep the law by saying, oh, it's not that bad. You know, I didn't murder anybody. Or God knows my condition. He'll forgive me. I did it because I want to earn my way into heaven. God doesn't need help. We do. And all those things that we're proposing as excuses for not receiving Jesus only hinders us from this moment forward. And those of us who have received Christ now have received his grace and the truth of it. It's all of a sudden like, boink, the lights came on. I'll tell you, when I got saved, the colors spoke to me. Literally spoke to me. I could hear their voices. I could understand and discern the truth of what God was saying. He put a new heart into me. And then he said, I'm going to fill you with my wisdom. That's awesome. Who would have thought? Because I thought I was pretty smart. I was really well versed in book knowledge. But I came to realize how dumb I was without the knowledge of God's grace for me. And so what he did was, instead of having the two groups who were constantly hostile to one another, he said, I'm done with that. Think about it. Think about the persecution of the Jews. The hatred of a people that God wanted to use to bring the gospel to the rest of the world. And yet the world didn't want them. They wanted to execute them. They wanted to eradicate them. That's what World War II showed. It's what communism is all about. Distributing equal pain amongst everybody else while they live high off the hog. At the expense of what God has given to humankind. And God said, I'm going to stop this and I'm going to have one new man. And that man is now going to be found in Jesus Christ. This is why we're able to have different people groups come here, because we love each other. That's the commonality That's what bridges the hostility. That's what causes grace to flow into our lives, that we're not hostile towards one another. We love each other. That's why we assemble here. It was God's purpose for us. Christ came and preached peace to outsiders and peace to insiders. He treated us as equals and so made us equal. Through him, we both share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. It's because of what Jesus did. We are equal. There's no difference except in our pigmentation or our gender. That's it. We're equal. Equal with each other and equal with Christ. If you don't understand that, that's the whole purpose of grace. We're now part of his family. We have the same DNA going through us. We have a different spirit than in the world. We have stuff, but we utilize the stuff in order to reach or help people that God wants to reach. We see needs, we go and try to meet those needs that God points out. And we do that by the grace of God. I hope you can see just through this short time that grace is more than unmerited favor. It's favor. Yeah, it is. We don't deserve it. We don't. It's totally on his part to extend that to us. To a world that doesn't know him. Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. Jesus, I think it was Nathaniel, when he was asked, show us the Father. And Jesus said, how long have I been with you that you haven't seen the Father? They didn't have the Spirit. They didn't understand grace. But Jesus was revealing this all along. It's not by human effort. Any things that we do is good, that we think that we're justified before God. It's not. That only puts peace in our conscience that we're on the right path. But you still have a wrong spirit. Grace is just simply receiving Christ and his work on a cross and believing that he has set us free. And that exchange that happens, it's less than a second. That change is instantaneous. He takes my life and I get his life. Everything that he owns is mine. And everything that I own now, I give to him. We know through Isaiah, everything that we have is but filthy rags. We call righteousness. But when I receive Christ, I receive his righteousness, which is holy and pure. I receive his peace, because hostilities between each other and before God ceases. It's done. And out of that flows a heart full of love fills with joy. It's good to see someone else get promoted. It's good to see someone set free from bondage. It's good to see people's lives changed for the glory of God. And He freely gives it to us. Our part is we respond in faith that He's done this, and we believe it, and He will change us for His glory. Amen? Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for everything that You've given me so far about grace and what You taught me I've given to Your people. There's so much more that we need to learn. Because